We're talking about Ruach HaKodesh. We're all for Ruach HaKodesh. Now Reb Chaim is going to talk about the Ruach HaKodesh that he had, I think. He might have had more, but he for sure had this. And that is, V'ayit Inyan, Sheminat Shemaim, Noisim B'Piv Ma'loimar. In his mouth, they say what to say. V'av B'Sheini Yedei Klaus, is that Ruach HaKodesh. Doesn't realize it's Ruach HaKodesh. Rak Noisim Boi Machshav, V'loim Mekach B'Kach, V'idaz Tarnish V'yadai. People went to Reb Chaim and asked him the same question. Reuven would come and ask him something. Shimon would come 20 minutes later, ask him something, and they get two answers. So somebody wants to ask Reb Chaim, why are you giving two answers to the same question? He said, that's what comes into my mind at the time. That's what I say. That's the Ruach HaKodesh he's talking about now. That the Rabbi Nishlam put the answer he should tell the person in his mouth. But you have to understand that you have to be holding on that madrega, that you know that the Rabbi Nishlam is giving you the right answer to that person's question. I mean, if they came to Yitzchak Margaret and he did it, it would be a very sad situation. But if they go to Reb Chaim Kanievsky and did it, it worked. That's the thing. This is the story. Reb Gamliel was walking in the street, and he found the bread, and he didn't want to eat it because it was pasakim. He stopped an Arab. He said, my boy, do you want the bread? So they asked him, how'd you know the name? But what it meant is, he didn't know that this is the guy's name. He gave a common name. He's like, said, hey, Joe. Hey, Peter. Now, there's a lot of common names. But from his mouth, he was going to call the guy by guy's a common name. Hey, John, right? But why John, not Peter? They put in the right name. That's what happened. That's what Tosfos says in Erevin. So Reb Chaim says that's a kind of Ruach HaKodesh. Reb Gamliel didn't even know he had Ruach HaKodesh. He didn't mean, oh, I know his name is Mabgoi, I'm calling him Mabgoi. He didn't know his name is Mabgoi. He had many geish names to pick from. Now, today he wouldn't even pick a normal name. He'd have to pick some name that makes no sense that nobody ever got called by Shando or whatever else. You make up some stupid idiot. But once upon a time, they used regular geish names, not so long ago, right? B'zesh nikra shekibim Ruach HaKodesh. So that's the Ruach HaKodesh Reb Chaim says a lot of people get. The Reb Chaim puts into their minds. Reb Gamliel doesn't know why Mabgoi popped into his mind. But the Reb Chaim put it there because that was the right thing. Here he says, two people ask the same question. He gives them opposite answers. This is Reb Chaim talking about himself. I mean, he didn't think he was talking about himself, but that's what he did. My lawyer, but then God came in Nevuah Ktala. To my Shekhasim, as I just am Hashem Bepi, I say Hashem Adabe, whatever Hashem puts in my mouth, that's what I say. What? Well, the pasuk you're talking about Bilam using what Hashem is telling him. He was a Navi. V'yesh harbe b'amim shebichas chochem v'atfasim iskayemes. V'shem shemechavim l'shem shemayim. V'yesh harbe b'shay v'tayim, that's the name of a medrash. Amar of a rabbazim ra'roch, so yoyetz eitzos umiskayemes. He gave advice and it always worked. Amar levichi Navi ata. So they asked him, are you a Navi? Amar levichi Navi anachi, amar levichi Navi anachi. If you mean l'shem shemayim, it works. He gets the ability to give good advice. Why? Because Reb Chaim puts it in his mind to give the right advice. He doesn't know all the details. They give the etzes, and they know that this is the Tyre's etzes. Ma'atayriba. U'mishamayim u'da'askim datayu. And, u'mishamayim, they're being maskim to this etzah. V'yesh l'pamish ha'brochas etzes miskaimim b'schus ha'shayel. Sometimes that helps in the schus of the one I ask. Shamayim b'muna shalema. He believes, shamilas ha'chokha miskayemes. U'b'schus zeh ha'bemes miskayim. He has schusim. A guy comes and asks a Rav Ashayla in Hashkafa, in Hanhanhaga, and he trusts that whatever the Rav says is the Rabbi Nishlam's Ratzin. So the Rabbi Nishlam makes it his Ratzin. He gives the Rav the idea, the right thing to say. And if he wouldn't trust the Rav impeccably, that happens. changes the Vyasayim. The same Kasuv, the Meshach Chachma, have Tyras Kayera, and we will stop over here.
According to Rabbi Yehuda, Tokoterek, is there any difference if he finds Tesaras and those Tesaras?
Yes.
If he finds Tesaras, there's no me and there's no Chalitza.
Because we don't trust her.
If
you had two men see the Tesaras, there would be Chalitza. She becomes a Gdela. We just can't rely on a woman to create her in a Gdela.
How about if there's no Shtetzaras?
Then she's a Ktana.
Couldn't it be Huda? You assume it's a
Gdela. Every girl is a Ktana till she's 12. Rabbi Huda says if this woman is different and has Shtetzaras before 12, she has it at 11, she can become a Gdela at 11. That's not the norm. A regular 11-year-old that wasn't checked can do me in.
And it's checked by it's a different check by a man or a woman?
Yeah, absolutely. A man is an aide. I mean, you would need two aides. If two aides come in and say she has Tesaras, she becomes a Gdela. She can do Chalitza. But a woman doesn't get the ability to create a new Matthias. After 12, she has the ability because she's supported by the Rav. Right. Okay. We're going to start the Gemara, Mem Tesamet Aleph. The Mishnah said that some klicheres, some clay kalim, have a hole that lets liquid out, and some klicheres has a hole that even lets liquid in. Now, what's the difference? What do I care whether it lets liquid out or in? If it's a keli, it's a keli. If it's not a keli, it's not a keli. Zok the Gemara. Machnis, right at the beginning of the Gemara, Mem Tesa Medal. Machnis, pasul lemechatas, or pasul mishim gistera. If it lets water in, it's no longer a keli for the purpose of mechatas. Let me explain something. Again, in the non-disposable society that they lived in, if a keli developed a hole, they didn't discard it. They used it for something else. For instance, if it had a hole that was like a little hole, big enough that water came in, they put it aside for salads. We'll keep our olives in there. Because you can use it for olives. Why dispose it? There's some things I have to put in that are solid that are not going to leak out. So it has a hole, Who cares? It's still a good keli. It can still hold my olives. If it had a hole the size of olives, now, that already became a non-keli, unless you decide I'm going to use it for pomegranates. Oh, for pomegranates, it can hold pomegranates. Once it has a hole the size of a pomegranate, it's not a keli. That's for anything. So they used to reassign kalim. Some worked automatically. Up to the size of an olive, it was an automatic reassignment. A regular person would not dispose of such a keli. He would keep it for the next step. For the next slab, for the next step. That's what they used to do. Today, if anything is a little thing, it's in the garbage, and we buy a new one. That's what Amazon is for. Right? Amazon would go out of business if everybody kept everything and didn't dispose of it. Right? So that's what Amazon is for. As soon as something is not working, we'll get a new one. Finish. Next. And that's how we live in a disposable society. They did not have a disposable society. So therefore, as soon as a keli developed holes, different size holes, changed its usage for different things. You couldn't use a keli that has a hole big enough to let water in to hold liquid. You'd be wasting your time. Now, so if it only leaks liquid, little drip by little drip, it's okay. You can afford that. You have a keli that holds 6 ounces, and it drips over an hour. It'll drip out a quarter of an ounce. I can live that way. I'll put something under it, a shard. It'll catch that little thing that drips. I didn't throw it out. Once it's big enough that it lets water in, that means the size of the hole got bigger. That means the leak will be much more. At that point, I can't use it for liquid anymore. So it automatically becomes a sign for solid. Still mekabel tuma. But it no longer can be used for anything that needs liquid because this keli can't hold liquid. The hole is too big. Now, if it's only leaking a little bit, I can still use it for liquid. Once it leaks to the point that it becomes not practical for liquid, so now I can't use it for liquid. It's still mekabel tuma, but it's not mekal. It can't be used for liquid things. Therefore, machnes pasul lemechatas. The minute the hole is big enough that water can go in, then it becomes pasul lemechatas. I can't use it to fill up water from a well to use the para aduma. It's liquid. A hole, a keli that has a hole that goes in, can't be used for liquid. It's not a keli vis-a-vis liquid. The type of one can use a keli, that's a keli that can hold liquid. A keli like this that has a constant leak is the can't hold liquid. I mean, it can hold liquid for 2 minutes, but that's not called holding liquid. It's not a keli for mechatas. The Torah said you need a keli for mechatas. That means a keli that can hold liquid. Once the hole is big enough, the water can get in. It's not a keli for liquid. And mechatas is liquid.
Also sounds like a luchic
sock. 100%. I can't, if I fill it up with that, I didn't fill it up with a keli.
It's also not practical.
Forget about practical. I'm not interested in practical. I'll fill it up. It takes me a minute to fill it up and pour it into something else. So it is practical.
For mechatas, you need a shame keli for sure.
The nasan al of mayim chayim el, sorry. The nasan al mayim chayim el keli. It has to go into a keli. And the translation of a keli for liquid is a keli that can hold liquid and not have a leak big enough that through that hole water would enter. That's big enough not to be considered usable for liquid. You can use it.
Right, use it for olives.
It automatically becomes, it's still a keli to be mekabel tumah.
Right.
It automatically reassigns itself. Because society didn't dispose of it. And since society didn't dispose of it, why should it not be a keli? Now, if everybody in society would throw this thing away, it wouldn't be a keli anymore.
It's not just pasul in general, it's pasul mechatas.
That's what it says.
Right.
That's
well,
why I was trying to stress.
What about other mine, like Washington?
Once it's machnas, it's pasul. This is paskin, yeah, in halacha, in Hilchos Etzion Shadayim. You have a keli that leaks machnis. Again, today, if it would leak mitzi, we'd throw it away. That's what I'm saying. We live in a different society.
If you can't find anything but something with a crack in it, you should use that.
Again, depends how big the crack is. Is it mitzi or machnis? Is it mitzi or machnis? Yes, doctor.
Rashi specifies this is a crack.
Again, it doesn't matter. Call it what you want. If it leaks or doesn't leak, is the point.
Well, I have some problems as far as physics goes with it being a whole crap.
Again. Ma'iz machnis pasul lemechatas u pasul mishem gistera. And people would never use it as a shard. See, that was another thing. A keli that had a slight hole that's only mitzi, right? People wouldn't use it as a shard either, because they would need a shard under the shard.
Is it possible here being used?
Possible means it can be used for gistra, and therefore,
the
not a case. What?
The borrowed term?
The borrowed, well, it's not, in a second we'll see, it's not really borrowed. Gistra is a shard. What happened is, in those days, when a keli had a slight hole that leaked a little bit, they used to put a shard under it to catch the leakage and kept on using the keli.
Okay.
So, once the hole was big enough to let water in, they wouldn't use it for that. But they wouldn't use it for holding water.
The hole into the shard.
Into the keli. They wouldn't use this keli for anything liquidy. Neither for a keli nor for a shard. It's a contrast in the next line. Mitzi, if it only leaks out but doesn't go in, kashul mechatas upasul mechum gistera. It's still kosher to fill up mechatas. However, if this were a shard and it started leaking, now let me explain, shards are mekabel tumah, because they use them. But once it develops a little hole that it leaks slightly, it's not mekabel tumah anymore. If you had a shard that leaks slightly, to the garbage. Nobody takes the shard under a shard.
A leaky shard.
Right. So if it's in, it's not usable as a shard, nor is it usable as a keli. If it's out, they can still use it as a keli. They'll put a shard under it. But they don't put a shard under a shard. Rashi. The mechatas, the kaddish by mechatas, to sanctify the water for paraduma. Rachman Amr Maim Chaim El Keli. The high love Keli. This is not a Keli. Pasul Mishum Gistra. Climber Kosh Keli for sure. In Nukva Gistra, if you have a shard and it got a hole, bekindness maska, enough to let water in. Batulam Mitayres Gistra. It's no longer a shard. Utayra Mikol Tuma. Now fill a kli shalim. Even if it's a whole keli, not a shard, the minute it gets this size hole, it's no longer usable for liquid. Gistera, what is gistera? Hainu shivrei kli cheres, broken clay, haruyin l'mlacha, that's still usable, v'adayim mekabel tuma, and it's still a keli to be mekabel tuma. It's a broken keli, but this shard is still usable. And the non-disposable society that they had, they used it. To the tiny begamar beilu treifus, hadakin shibekli cheres, the small clay kalim, hein they, the karkariseim and their bottoms, v'daifneseim and their sides, yoyisre shaloymus umachim. If you can put it on the floor and it doesn't have to be supported, some things if you put it down it tilts, it's not usable. Meaning, but if you can have a breaking piece that can still be put down and stand there. That's a usable broken piece. Shiuram, how big does it have to be? So, how much liquid does it have to hold to be considered a usable shard? So the Gemara there says an interesting concept, and that is the bigger the keli was, the more the shard has to hold. I don't know why this is true, but that's what the Gemara there says. The smaller the keli was, the less the shard has to hold to be considered a keli. The bigger the keli was, the shard has to hold more to be considered a keli. I'm not sure why. It could use it. What difference does it make if it came from a big or a small? But that's what the Gemara says in Hula. Shiurim b'gdei sichas katan ad lug. If the keli held a lug, which we'll say is 16 ounces, then the shard has to hold enough oil to smear on a little child. A little child's finger, the Gemara says there. Right? A little child's finger. When we look at saw, if the keli held from one look to a saw, which is 24 look, right? So then, bervius, the shard has to hold 4 ounces. So the size of the original keli determines the size of how big the shard has to be considered a keli. Mighty, the neck of katnu, it's very small. Kashala mechatas. The kli sholim, the neck of katnu, kulahai, lebatu. If you had a whole keli with a little hole that just lets water out, not in, is that batu. Upasu mishum gistera. Gistera shenikva. A gistera that gets a hold, a shard that gets a hold. I feel like a mighty mask of batula. As the Gemara will explain, nobody brings a shard to put under a shard. That much non-disposable they weren't. Once the shard got a hold, they disposed of it.
It's not a kabotuma. That means you find it in an oil and mace. It's not a kabotuma.
Right. And if a shard touches, it's not a kabotuma. It's not susceptible to tuma. Let me explain. Kabbalah's tuma happens to people. Yin, not claim. People, kalim, and food. A piece of wood is not makabel tumah. A stone is not makabel tumah. Tumah is only for people, kalim, and food, or drink. Tumah does not affect non-kalim. If you have a stone, a piece of wood, piece of plastic, well, plastic is not a keli anyway, probably. Piece of metal, not a keli. It has to be something that's a keli. A keli is makabel tumah. If it's not a keli, it loses its tumah. Even if it's tumah, it loses its tumah. It is a keli. If it has no hold, it's a keli. You want me to get involved in that halacha now? We hope it's a keli because people use it for the tzios yadayim. This is the shaila, is disposable as kelim. Now, Disposable means meant to use one time and dispose. It's meant to use one time and dispose. It's not a keli. The question is, if it's reusable, it is a keli. Now you get involved. Do I have to tifle it? Now you don't have to tifle paper anyway. They have communities on these disposable pans, simple pans that they sell. The 9 by 13. So we say that if a person throws it away after one use, we don't make him tifle it. If he uses it over and over again, he has to tifle them. That's halacha. Because to him, it's a keli. To the one that disposes of it. But it is a mistake that people make. It's a common error, and I'll just correct it now. Some people say, if you buy a keli, the first time you can use it without tefillah. It's wrong. There's no such halacha. If it's only meant to use once, you can use it without tefillah. I get this shaila in the summer all the time because people go out and they want to buy a barbecue and they didn't bring their barbecue along. So they walk into a store and for $11 you can pick up one of these old-fashioned barbecues that you put coals in and you can make it. So they call me and say, we don't want the table, right? We're going to use it once and then we're going to dispose of it. No, that barbecue is made to use over and over again. For you, the $11 is worth this one barbecue and then you don't care. But this is not they don't make that for one-time use. Now they have these little ones that they make for one-time use, like the disposable ones. That, you don't have to table. But the ones that are made to be used, because you're not reusing it, doesn't mean you don't have to table it. It's a common error. It's a mistake. You cannot use something one time without tefillah. If it's made to use one time, it's not a keli. That's what we say. Okay. That's the Gemara Vayter. Amar Rav Ashi, Shainin. We learned. Kli Chares, Shiura B'Kaydes Mashka. The shear of a kli chayres to lose its tumah is when maske can go in. But like Amru, mighty maske linyan gistra bovad. The only time, if it could only leak, that it takes away the name keli is on a shard. My time, Amar Mazutra, so Mazutra said, because Menei of Nachman, fisha ein aimem habi gistra legistra. People don't bring a shard to take care of an other shard. Rashi, shainin, halacha l'maisha m'sinai. This is not logic. This is halacha l'maisha m'sinai. Shiurai t'kaynes mashka. Pachas shol shiurim ha'mevat l'maisha m'yayz kli. This is the smallest hole that takes away the name of a kli, called from being a kli. Kaynes mashka, hu shir harishan sh'mevat l'maisha kli l'mechatas. That's the smallest shir. Obviously, if it's bigger, it's for sure mevat to it. But the smallest shear that's mevatu a keli from mechatas is kaynes maska. Because I remember mesechta Shabbos, chamish midas bekli cheres, nikiv kemaitzi maska, tar melatami gistera. The mesechta Shabbos it says there are five measurements, five. What am I looking for? Slav. Five levels. Being mevatul tumah. If it is kindness mashka, it's pasul lekadesh by mechatas. Vadayin kli hu lechol shar dvarim. However, it's still a keli vis-a-vis everything else. Nikiv kishayrish cotton, tor lahachshus roim. This is the next year. Things that grow in a flower pot that has no hole are not mekabel tumah. Things that grow in a flower pot with a hole are considered attached to the ground if they're over the ground. If I have a flower pot with a hole, it's considered, and it's on the ground, it's considered attached to the ground. How big does the hole of the flower pot have to be in order to be considered attached to the ground? So the Gemara there, it has to be the shear of a root, a small root. It's bigger than a kindness mashka. I don't know by how much, not by much. At that point, it loses its shame keli vis-a-vis attaching the things that grow into it as part of the ground. Lahakshus roim. Ladayin kli hu lutuma. But it can still be makabal tuma. Sharoi lakabal by zesim. Olives are the, what we consider the measuring rod for what a keli is. Nikiv kamaiti zayis. Tar mituma. Shekibo. It becomes tar from any tumah that it had. Now, this is different than zesim. By zesim, I don't have to designate it for olives. it automatically redesignates. Once the hole is bigger than the size of an olive, unless I redesignate it, it loses its shem keli. What? Ach yachadenu, until you designate it, the remainder. You have to designate it. If you don't designate it, it loses its tumma.
So that's like a person's own preference.
100%. You just said it.
Going back to like these other shilas where a person, he's so rich that a disposable grill would work. He doesn't care about it.
No, that's a big difference. Under Zaysim, we don't say it's his personal preference. If he, right, it's only once it got a hold of Zaysim, where the norm of society is that he throw it away, and he doesn't throw it away, you go to Chumrah and say it's still a Kaili. It's a Chumrah, not a Kula, still a Tameh. Right? And by the way, this is true in many things. A Chatzitza. Whatever a regular person considers a Chatzitza is a Chatzitza whether you care or not. Whatever nobody cares about, the regular person doesn't care about, but if you care, it's a chatzitza. Another shaila that's common. I titled the keli and I found a label on it. Do I have to retitle it? Would the regular person use the keli with the label? Now, it depends where that label is. If the label is right on the side, most people would not reuse it. They wouldn't want a keli hence put out there with a label for Marks, right? $9.99. So they would redo it. But if it's on the bottom, a lot of people don't care, right? But this guy cares, so it's a chatzitza for him. He has to retitle. So we only say that l'chumra. Your individual preference only makes a difference l'chumra, not l'kula.
Rabbi?
Yes?
What about kelim designed, what about utensils designed with holes in them, like a colander? Does that matter at all if they're designed that way?
No, yes, because it's not made for liquid. It's made for solid.
Yeah.
A keli made with a hole is meant to be holding solid, not meant to hold liquid. A slotted spoon is not meant to hold liquid. A slotted spoon is meant to separate the solid from the liquid.
Okay. I was trying to think of some of these utensils that are both. They're meant to hold, they could be adjusted. Like, I'm thinking of, like, maybe a lettuce spinner or something like that. You put things in there and then it closes and then it opens or something like that. But generally, it has to be designed to actually hold the liquid in, is the answer.
Correct. Nick of Kamaichi, remind? Tarmiklum. At that point, we don't care about personal preference. Nimtza, kindness mashka hu shir harishin. The first shear vis-a-vis a regular keli is if the liquid leaks in. I have a kamaichi maskele bottle. If it just leaks out slightly, then it's not bottle because people will use a keli that way. But amru maichi maske bottle elanyin gistra bavad. It only applies to shard. Ava bishena machnis, even though it won't go in. Fishain aimrim havi gistra legistra. What does that mean? Kishenikva kamaichi maske. Once the shard has a hole that the liquid leaks, suv ein chasale. He doesn't care about it anymore. Reina mishtamish ban, he doesn't use it. She'ein oimer havi gistra acheres v'niach takas gistra zu. A regular, normal person doesn't put a shard under a shard. L'kabo mashka yaitze. Ava b'kli shalim shemikav k'maitzi mashka. But a whole keli that has the hole that can leak. V'ein batul miklom. It's not batul. B'shu chasalav. He cares about it. He doesn't break it and use it. Or maybe gistra, period. Or mishtamish by, he uses it. Or maybe gistra, and he attacked him. For this little leak, he uses a shard. How do you know that this klicheris has enough that liquid would enter? See, to check for mitzi mask is very simple. Put liquid and see if it leaks. Kindness maska, how do you know? How do you know if water would go in? So let's see what the Gemara says, right? Dr. Gemara, Yavi Areva Mlehemayim, put a bowl of water with nice and Gdera Lataycha and put in a pot, stick a pot in. Imkansa, if you see the water getting into the pot, you do it's a kindness maska. Vimlav, if not, you do it's a mighty maska. Right? It's leaking, but if you put it in and push it down and nothing goes in, that means it's not kindness maska. That's the first Madiyama. The second Madiyama responds. He says, that doesn't work. And the reason it doesn't work is because the pressure can make the hole bigger. When you push that pot into the water, it might not have been kindness maska before, but you just made it kindness maska. Pressure can make that hole bigger. So if you would, I mean, it's a simpler one. Kaifiv Eisnik Der Lataycha. Turn the pot upside down and put it into a bowl, an empty bowl. Then, Meitzav Ala Mayim. Fill up the bowl of water higher than the pot. And then, if kindness, we do it, your kindness maska. Then see if it leaked into the pot. You can check the bottom of the pot. What? Put it upside down into a bowl, empty bowl. Then fill it up with water over the top, over the bottom of the pot, which is the top. Then check the inside of the pot and see if it doesn't leak in.
You have to make a good seal on the bottom.
Obviously, because if not, it's going to leak this way, but it's not going to go up. Well, maybe it will, but again, it has to be sealed, right? Vim kindness, be do it your kindness maska. Vim lav, be do it your mighty maska. That's one way to check it. Put it over fire. Now, a hole that's mighty maska, the heat will keep it from leaking. The heat does a temporary stop to the leaking liquid. The heat stops a mighty maska from leaking, but it won't stop a kindness maska from leaking. If it doesn't stop the leak, be a duish a machnes maska. I'm sorry?
I didn't interrupt. Almost all solids expand with heat, and therefore will close. But
the B.I.C.I., man.
Wait, you have it full of water and you're putting it on the heat? Well, what do you... Well,
you fill it up with water and then put it over heat.
Okay, and if it drips, then you know that the hole's big enough to go in.
Exactly. Because if not, the heat would close that hole temporarily. The B.I.C.I., man, I've always said it's not going to be hard.
Make sure
that's
I'm not
meeting.
Out, though, what? Shipping out, not shipping in.
Again, you want to check, would it go in? So put it over fire. If the hole is only big enough to drip out, it wouldn't go in, the heat would stop the drip.
But cool, it does drip, right?
Okay. If it's still dripping, even though it's over fire, that means that hole would have been big enough to let liquid in. I'm sorry?
So when it's cold, it's obviously dripping.
Right.
But on the heat, it stops.
That means it's not big enough to go in. Yes?
I was out for a second. The reason why we don't simply just take an empty plea and put it into a larger...
So I spoke out the answer, and Rashi says it, and that is the pressure would expand the hole. When you push it into water, you're putting pressure on the bottom of the keli. So that little hole might get a little bigger, and you just ruined your keli.
Because if you flip it upside down, the air which will exit will prevent the water from coming in. That's an even bigger problem because the essential...
Again, let me just finish the Gemara, the Rashi, and I think afterwards everybody will be happy. Rabbi Yaisi says, no, the fire test is not good, because the fire can stop the leak even if it's machnas. And the Saif Sagabi Rebbe's, put it over coals and ashes, hot burning coals, which is not like fire. V'im remeth mamida b'iduah shemaitzi maska. V'im ya'ab b'iduah shekainis maska. So he just says the fire test is not good because the flame can stop more than coals can. Ha'ya taira tipa achatipa. If it's leaking consistently, b'iduah shekainis maska. You don't even have to test it. Because the constant drip means it's big enough. It's only if it drips, and then drips, and then drips. But if it drips, it's kindness maska. My ikka ben tana kamal Rabbi Yehuda. Amar ula kinu saideh atchak ikka benayu. The difference is that if you push it and it goes in, does that prove it? And I was wrong. We'll see Rashi will explain it better than me, and let's do Rashi. Zuck Rashi, Amar Alof, the last Rashi. So the Tanakhama said, fill up a bowl with water, push it down, if it goes in, it's kindness maska. Rabbi Yehuda Aymer, don't check it this way. This will be a kula, meaning you'll make it lose its tumma when it shouldn't lose the tumma. I was wrong. I said because it'll expand the hole. That's not what Rashi says. The idea the dachet luli shalayim, ema ayli ma'ili legava, afil a benetiv cut. Even a small hole, the pressure will get the water in. Really, it's not big enough to be mevatel the tumma. Really, the hole is not big enough to let water in. But because you pressure, it goes in, even in a smaller hole. Meaning it normally would not go in. But because it's pressured, therefore the pressure gets water in a smaller hole. And you'll say, oh, it's kindness mashka. It's not tummy anymore, this Kaylee. But it's not true. Because it's not kindness mashka. You got water in, that's because you pushed. Pushing can get it in through a smaller hole. And therefore, he owed, I feel a bit neck of cotton. This is the test. Put an empty pot into a bowl before you put any water into the bowl. Put water into the bowl until the water is on top of it. So there's no pressure. You put the water over the top. See if it goes in. I don't know why you just can't pour water on the bottom and see if it leaks in. I don't know why you have to fill it up over it and see if it leaks in. Maybe because the hole is on the side. I don't know. This way, you put it down, put water, and see if it goes into the pot or not.
There's no pressure there.
What pressure?
The water on top.
Nice. There's not pressure as much as pushing it into water. You ever try to push something into water?
Yeah, of course.
It's pressure.
Yeah. The pressure at the side of the hole is what's called a state function, which means it's path independent, period. But not as much as the pressure if you're pushing it against air trying to stay
that's
up.
Because you're pushing the whole thing in. The amount of pressure at the side of the hole is the same whether you shove the bot in or whether you pour the water around.
If I seem to be happy with this, I'm not going to argue. I know, in real life, I don't argue anymore.
Like I said earlier, it has to make a really good seal on the bottom to not let water from the end.
Said that. You have to put it in a way that it won't leak to the bottom. I said that.
It's the height in which the hole is and the amount of water above it is. And it's a state function.
In Ma'am Amida, so Yetza Maskin, the water doesn't leak with the fire, but you neck of Kutnu. Vayna Royal Ichanis Masna, and water won't go in. So I'm Maimon, I feel the neck of Gadol. He argued. He said, not true. Fire will stop even a bigger hole. Remets, Gecholim, Ve'efer, Bayerim. Coals and ashes, and I don't know why that's less heat than the other heat. How you tie Retipa Chetipa, Kleimer, Bezunami Bedikin, it's another way to check it. Im Nasm Lotaychemayim, Ve'en Yaitzim Tif Acher Tif, it goes drip by drip. Bezu Ishakainis Mashka. Mayim Kabein Tanakamel Rabbi Yehuda. Why does Rabbi Yehuda think his test is better than the Tanakamas? Rabbi Yehuda, Kinus Aidei Atchaki Kabinayim. Kinus Aidei Atchaki Kabinayim. Tanakama Vikinus, if you push it down and it goes in, that makes it non-Kaili. Remember, people like it not to be a Kaili. It takes away the Tumma. Kaili is, to be a Kaili is a Chumra, not a Kula.
It is automatically, even if it's...
if it's Kindness Maska, it's not a Kaili for water. Okay, but that's what the guy's interested in here.
He wants to keep it as a Kaili?
But you do what you're kind of... Tanakana Vakinas Kedaprishas. I'm sorry, yes. What are you saying?
They say, what is his intent here? To try and make it ice Kaili?
Well, he wants to know, is it still a Kaili or not a Kaili?
Al-Tumma.
What else does he care?
Well...
Is it Tiyoshi Dayim? It's not talking about...
He doesn't want it to... Well, he wants to be able to use it.
He can use it.
No.
You don't have to test it if you can use it or not.
No.
Use it and see what happens. I mean, you don't test
people,
it to see if you can use it.
Most people don't. Well, okay, it depends.
But you don't know
the
if
purpose.
You can let things in there. It'll go in or not. You don't, yeah,
you
don't
you're
know.
You're not going to put your barley
yes.
in this
pot. If I fill it up with water, you'll see whether you can use it or not. If it's leaking a lot, you won't use it. If it's not, obviously, it's not leaking a lot. You just want to know, is it still kindness mashka or not? Now, why do you care?
Because you want to take your barley on a boating trip. You don't want it to get wet.
Fishing.
On your fishing trip. Dry barley in a container. You want to keep it dry.
Okay, so therefore what? So if it's mighty mashka, what happens?
No, if it's, you want to know if it's machnes mashka.
You got to be what?
Watertight. To keep it watertight. That's what I'm thinking. That's what the purpose is.
Again, I'm talking about what they checked it for. They didn't check it for see if their barley stays dry. They checked it to see.
What does machnas mashke matter to anybody?
It can't use it for mechatas.
Okay. Okay.
Yes.
I tell you the difference between the fire and the cold. Simply heat by contact and infrared radiation. The fire is a burning gas, which will be at a higher temperature around the area in the cold. So there's going to be a difference.
Okay. That's the fact. That's the fact.
The other thing is, which has not been mentioned, maybe mentioned later, is if you have a hole which is leaking a small amount, and there is a fire around it, the water is going to evaporate as soon as it comes out. It's not going to be visible.
Again, the water does not mention
how
much is how much?
If you have a crack on the side of the hole and leaks, but it holds.
Okay, so now you're getting involved in a different Shiloh. If the crack is not on the bottom, it's on the side, is it a Kaylee under the crack? Yes.
But that's not
against it. No. But you can use it. It's the game that you'll see die. I don't care. Mechat is as much you put in there. You fill up as much as you want.
Is there a minimum?
No. And people used it. Mechatzis wasn't a daily thing. The guys, they sent ashes of Paradum around Eretz Yisrael. And when a person became Tamei Meis, they had to mix those ashes with water in order to sprinkle on this guy. He lived in Tzfat, and he was Tamei Meis. So they had ashes of Paradum in Tzfat. And they went to a well, and they got water to mix with the ashes. So they needed a keli to fill it up with water. That keli cannot have a hole that's machnas mashke.
On the bottom.
Wherever that hole will interfere with the water in the keli. No, not that I know of. Again, I'm not learning with that as far now, but no. Yes.
Well or a spring?
Mayan, whatever it is. Mayim chayim. So let's say spring. I'm sorry, spring. That's the Gemara Vayter. Call Aver Shiesh by Tzipirin. Now, what's the difference if it's metame, if it's a bone? As the Gemara will explain, it's an extra finger. But if it has a nail, it's an Aver. If it doesn't have a nail, it's not an Aver. Who cares? Bones are metame also. A bone of a mace is metame. A bone of an Aver Menachai is metame. So what difference does it make? Well, that's not so simple. Dr. Gemara, yes, but tzipayrim matame b'maga b'masa b'ayol. An aver is matame by touch, by carrying it without touching, or being in the same room. That's if it has a nail. Yes, by etzem b'aim by tzipayrim. So it's not an aver. So matame b'maga b'masa, still matame by touching the bone the size of a barley, or carrying the bone the size of a barley, b'vein matame b'ayol. That's the halacha. To be matama b'ayo, it has to be called an aver. An aver has to be bone, sinew, flesh, and if it's an extra aver, a nail. An extra finger needs a nail. This is our local Lamaicha Messina.
Are you talking aver of somebody, what, was a mace or was a...
Dead guy.
Dead guy.
Not an amputation.
With six fingers on one hand?
Nabuch, yeah.
Not an amputation of a line.
No. But it is also true. And Abraham and Achai is Matamba Bayo also.
And then, what if there are five fingers in
the Amar of Chesda. Dabazer Rabbeinu Hagadol Amrai. This was said by Rabbeinu Hagadol, which is Rav. Hamakim Yeh Be'ezrai. Hashem should help him. He means he was still alive. Ezba Yisei Rishiyesh Be'etzem Be'em Be'etzipirin. Matamba B'maga B'masavein Matamba Bayo. It's only by an extra finger. This halacha l'maish mitzinai is not said by the five fingers. They are avarim even without the nail. I'm a rabbi by Rachon, I'm a rabbi Yechonen, chain in the sparas are gaviyad. And even that's only if it's not counted, it's not in the row of fingers. It's out of area. If a person has six fingers but they're in an order, like he had, we have five fingers, he has a sixth one right there, that's considered an Eva without a nail. It's only when that extra finger is protruding from somewhere that's not in the order of the fingers, from his wrist, from the top of another finger, meaning it's not coming out of the regular. It's not together with the top of his hand. When the five fingers come out, it doesn't come near there. Rashi. If it has a nail, it's considered a neighbor. And if it doesn't, it does not.
It's in the wrong place.
That's exactly what we're saying. Exactly.
If it's in the right place,
then it's considered a neighbor even without a nail. That's what the Gemara is saying. Exactly. Rashi, yesh b'tzipayrin, afili yisera, kan ez b'shishis, the sixth nail. V'tama b'maga b'masa b'ayot, dami eber choshuv. Now, think of lek exayas buser matam b'bayo. Rashi's trying to say, if it has exayas of flesh, matam b'bayo, regardless if it's a neighbor. So it doesn't have exayas buser, the kaimelon, evarim ein lem shir, mepere gay tzadefen. Ein b'y tzipayrin, if it doesn't have a nail, lehavi aver. Meal, matam b'mago b'masik, it did etzim kisayra. It is a bone the size of a barley, shar yesh b'etzim. Vein the matam b'bayo, atzi ik exayas buser. If it's not an aver, you need exayas buser to be matamba b'ayol. The kaimelon etzim kisayim matamba b'magav masav loy b'ayol. Be'ik exayas buser v'ad matamba. Be'ik exayas matamets. Exayas matamets is matame. Be'in lav yaseirehi. If this wouldn't be an extra finger, v'ad matamba mishum aver b'ayol, then it would be considered an aver without a nail. La'filu abagav delek exayas buser. Now, filu yaseira, even an extra finger, immediately come on, yin esperes agav yad havi aver. An extra finger, if it's together with the other fingers, is an aver. Rabbeinu agabu, rav, agav ayad, she'enu emedes besuras etzibois. It's only coming out, not where, it's not coming out to rest in the fingers. Meaning, she'enu esperes agav ayad. Rashi learns, it's not where the fingers are. It's where the fingers aren't, an extra finger. Now, what would happen if a guy had four fingers and his fifth finger came out from the wrong place? The Gemara doesn't address it here, so I don't know. That's the honest truth. I don't know. It's not an extra finger. It's his fifth finger, but it's not where the fingers are. From the Gemara, I would speculate that that would be Matama's neighbor because it's his fifth finger. The Gemara only talks about an extra one. That's not an extra one. But that's speculation. If somebody showed me somewhere and it said, not that way, I wouldn't lose any sleep. But I think today, guessing, if somebody's born that way, they would probably remove it surgically right away.
Yeah.
They would not?
Not necessarily. There are people with six fingers. At some point, it'll be likely removed for cosmetic reasons, so the children don't be in front of them.
Okay.
They don't get ready to get six fingers.
What?
They don't have to get six fingers right away. They let them move them.
Again, I was speculating, and you were talking from a pediatrician's husband, and he was talking to the doctor, so therefore, obviously, you know, both of you know much more than me about these things. Call him a Tommy Medras. Okay, the Mishnah said, again, I want to explain this. I'm sorry, there's more Rashi's? No, I didn't. I did, I got a yad. It's the last Rashi. What? I did it. Rabbeinu Agad L'Rav, Agava Yachay Naimad Beshura says boys. It's not with the row of fingers. I said it. No. Nothing in my right. Okay, the last thing in the Mishnah talked about Tumas Medras. And Medras is limited. We went through this already. Every Kaili is Makabal Tumah by touch. Every Kaili. I mean, there are exceptions. A Klicheris on the outside. But a regular Kaili is Makabal Tumah by touch. Zav has an extra type of tumma, by touch or carrying it. A zav has an extra type of tumma, laying on something, even if he doesn't touch it. All the way down, it all becomes an avatumma. All touch makes a recent tumma, except a mace when it touches makes an avatumma. A sheretz touches something, it's a recent tumma. a nevela touches something, it's a ritual tuma. A mace touches something, it's an abatuma. If zav, what? Zavu touches something, it's a ritual tuma. If he lays on a bed without touching it, it's an abatuma. Now, not everything can become a medrash. Everything that becomes a medrash is obviously a keli, can be tamei by touch.
Medrash is if it rains in half, is that medrash or not? Medrash is
the
grain
that has to remain an av. It becomes an av, correct. Medrash hazav is an av. Touching of a zav is not an av. Medrash of a zav is an av. Now, if it's matame medrash, it means it's a keli. If it's a keli, it's matame by touch. If it's matame by touch, it doesn't mean it's made to lay on. If it's not made to lay on, it can't be a medrash. Zakti Gemara, kol dechazi le medrash, matame tame meis. V'yeshe matame tame meis. Vei matame medrash. Vasuya mai, what is that including? Vasuya saw, a bowl that holds a saw, that's six kaven. V'tarkav holds three kaven. Just giving you examples. It's a bowl. It's not made to sit on. The Tanya. V'yoshev al kli. You sit on a kli, it's a medrash. Yahu kafa saw, v'yoshev al tarkav, v'yoshev al yetame. Any keli? What if he sits on a table? What if he sits on a bowl? Does that become medrash? Talmud Lema, Ashi Yeshev Olav Hazav. What is Ashi Yeshev? It says, he sits on a kli that he sits on. Well, that's redundant. If he sits on a kli, he's sitting on it. The Torah says, La Yeshev Olav Kli, Ashi Yeshev Olav Hazav. Thank you. He's sitting in a kli that Hazav sits on. To tell me, Misha Meyuchad Yeshiva, it's made for that. Yatzazeh, if you're sitting in a bowl, Shaimim Le'amoyed V'nasim Lachtegu. Do me a favor, get off. I have to do my work with this. Meaning, it's not made for sitting. Somebody sits down on a table, you'll say, excuse me, I need to put things on my table now. I have to serve supper. Right? But a guy sits on a chair, you don't say, get up from the chair. The chair is made to sit on. The table is not made to sit on. The extra word, actually, Yeshev Olav Hazav, says it's made to sit on. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, Asuya Sov B'Tarkov, She'ena Medrash Hazav, Letame Adam B'Kalim. If a zav touches it, it's tamei. Lias rishayim to be a rishon. But mace, that's an avatuma. And if a mace touches it, it becomes an avatuma. Misha miyuchad liyeshiva, hu da avi avatuma. The siv bechibes begadav. It says over there that it's an avatuma that he has to take it to the mikvah and it's tamei. He's tamei that makes his clothing tamei. We learn out from that pasuk over there that it's an avatuma. Fine. Okay, we will stop here. Tomorrow and Friday, I will be on the phone. Sunday, there's no shir, which I never can get a substitute to say over the whole week's Gemara. And Monday morning, Belina, and Mer Tzishem, I will be back here. Maybe even Shlaim Yerakaitis.